As we continue on through the book of Revelation this Easter season, today's reading might sound a little bit more familiar than the previous two did, and that would be, if it is, because this reading is also used each year for All Saints' Day in November. This, the annual reminder of the heavenly promise that waits for all those who have passed away in faith. In this reading, we get a glimpse of heaven. We see what's going on. And in this glimpse, we see that heaven is not pictured so much as a place or a physical location, but rather more of a situation. It focuses most on the group that's gathered there and the relationships that exist. Because, most importantly, God is there. He is there at the center of all things. And that, more than anything else, is what makes heaven heavenly. And who else is there with him? Well, a great number of angels, and a great number of people, his people, a great multitude that no one could number, it says. What we see is the relationship between God and his people fully restored, the church and her Savior reunited at last, as things are meant to be. God and man are in perfect harmony as his people sing his praises forever. So who are the people that are there? Here's the answer that John has given. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe, out of the countless multitude, perhaps John could recognize a few of them here or there, his fellow apostles who had already given their lives in service of the gospel, among them Peter, Paul, Matthew, Andrew, his own brother, James. If we were given the same vision that John had, perhaps we could also recognize a few faces here and there, people we have known in this life. Those that we've cared about who have gone to eternal rest. If we look closely enough at that countless multitude, we could see their faces too. And we know that our current separation from them is not a permanent thing, because we too will join in that great gathering. Those present there are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, it says, those coming out of their time on this earth spent under constant attack and temptation by all our enemies. This is the great theme of the Easter season. Because of what happened then, in that one death and that one resurrection, that Easter celebration, all of your enemies have been defeated. And chief among those enemies is death itself. Not defeated by you, but by the victory of Christ, of the Lamb on his eternal throne. By the blood of Christ, each and every one of your sins are forgiven and forgotten, wiped away as you were washed clean in your baptism, and you were made a part of the body of Christ that is gathered here at the throne of the Lamb of God. And so we, along with all these saints in heaven, we have also washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb, and instead of coming out soaked red with that blood, it has made them dazzlingly bright white. We have been forgiven and purified by the mercy and power of God. The Lamb who was slain has begun his eternal reign. Having shed his holy blood for us, he shall be our shepherd. This Sunday is also called sometimes Good Shepherd Sunday. And our gospel reading from John chapter 10 reminds us of that as well. Wiping away every tear, he will lead us to the springs of living water, and he promises we shall drink from those springs and never be thirsty again. But while Revelation is partly about the future, and people normally read it to try to decode or anticipate future events, it's not just prophecy of the future. A lot of it is relevant to the entire church. From the moment John saw the vision, to right now, at the present moment, and continuing on until Jesus returns. Part of it is looking beyond present hardships to the bright future that is promised in faith, but some of it is equally hopeful in looking beyond the appearance of the present moment, and seeing what is actually there, even now. And what we see of heaven in today's reading is not just important for what's waiting for us in the future, it is happening even now, because we can even see ourselves there. We know that we are joined with the whole church, in heaven and on earth. Though for now we're in two different places, either here on earth or there in heaven, there is only one universal church, the one gathering of all believers. This is the communion of the saints that we confess in the words of the creed. It's one of those phrases that we say in the creed that you don't really pay much attention to, one of these things that we repeat so many times we've forgotten what it means. But the church, the body of Christ, is not cut in half. It's not like we've been bisected and half the church is in heaven and half the church is on earth. The book of Ephesians reminds us that we are one body. We share one faith and one God, we are saved through one baptism, in which each of us were made this dazzlingly, sparklingly bright white in the blood of the Lamb. This is the communion of saints. And though we still struggle, as they have now triumphed, we are one church together with them. And so Revelation helps us adjust our perspective on things. It helps us step away from the short-term appearance and see things through God's eyes, taking an eternal view. Perhaps we are sometimes tempted to complain about our church. Do we perhaps get anxious over how things seem to be going? Anxious about the numbers? Many congregations, many church leaders certainly do. We keep track of our attendance. Do you look around sometimes and think, you know, I wish we had more members here. I wish we had younger people. I wish we had that all of us were more regular in attending. And certainly we do want people to be in worship for their own sake, for the benefit of receiving the gospel and receiving God's grace in word and sacrament. It's good to want people to be connected with Christ and with His church for their own sake. But at the same time, there's a temptation to want them in church for our sake, for the prosperity of the congregation, for the satisfaction of thinking, perhaps, I go to a thriving church. Look how many people are here. Or for the thought of leaving behind a good legacy. It is all too easy to get concerned about the numbers. The attendance numbers, the budget numbers, the national statistic numbers, and so forth. We see how our congregation is smaller than it was 10, 20, 50 years ago. We think of the future. We see how our denomination is shrinking, how Christianity across the nation is losing cultural influence. But while it is a natural human thing to worry about all that, and I think it is entirely natural, it's still the wrong thing. It's not the perspective we ought to have. We see in Revelation what the true state of affairs is like. The Christian church is not shrinking. The Christian church consists of more people than anyone could count, this multitude that no one could number. God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. And here in this heavenly vision, we see this great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And Jesus promises that no matter what the appearance may be here and now, in this world, in this life, that not one single person who belongs to Him, not one single person who is called and saved by Him, will be lost. Not one of His sheep will be snatched away from Him. Now this scene here, this scene with palm branches and loud shouts of praise and acclaim, I think it can't help but remind us of the scene on Palm Sunday we recalled just a few weeks ago. That Palm Sunday joy is followed so quickly by Good Friday, by arrest and rejection and death. He is hailed as the king and then almost immediately abandoned. There is nothing like that here. Just the endless thronging crowd gathered with Christ, gathered by Christ. Many places in Scripture, people fall down before angels or before God in great fear and trembling. But here, the church and the angels alike fall down in the presence of God, but it is in honor and worship, not in fear. The time for fear is past. The time for love and for joy has come. The Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd, to guide them to springs of living water, and no one could ever possibly snatch them away from this. See, heaven is not just out there. You already stand in the merciful presence of God, by grace through faith. One day we will indeed see it with all its fullness, see it with our own eyes, but we are a part of it already. And even now, God gives us a taste of it. We know that we already have the forgiveness of our sins, the peace with God that brings. We have the hope of resurrection, certainty of things yet unseen. We have His gracious presence with us. In His words, I am with you always. Even now, before that great heavenly feast, we have a taste of it, a sample of that blessed banquet. When we gather at the rail and we kneel to receive His body and His blood, we are part of that great communion of saints, the community of the heavenly host, together with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, together with this great crowd, this great multitude that no one could number. It is as if all the saints in heaven are here with us, or that we are there with them, praising and thanking the God who has brought us salvation. And we, just like those saints in heaven, are victorious in Christ. Redeemed by His blood, death has lost its sting for us. We, like those saints, will live forever, and that eternal life with God has already begun. Today's Easter joy is a time to rejoice and triumph, along with those who have joined the everlasting company, together with that great multitude in his presence. Today we see with John these images and these visions of the glory of heaven, the state of being with God in his presence and his mercy, dwelling with his people forever. And we thank him for the promise of glories still to come, as we remember the present blessings that he so richly reveals to us. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, until he gathers us before his throne, and we praise him along with these saints, face to face. Amen.